Don't worry, those of you that went to the Colonial Lodge, I'm not going to preach the exact same message. I did some more thinking about this psalm, and so I got some more notes on here. But anyway, the title of my message tonight is The Power of Praise and Thanksgiving. Psalm 145 is we've been hearing a lot about, and so I thought I'd read it, and I liked it as well. How many of you have on Psalm 145, maybe there's a caption there. Does anybody want to say what it says? What's your say, Seth?
God's unsearchable grace.
All right. Mine has that too, God's unsearchable grace. And another one of my Bibles it's a psalm, David's psalm of praise. And a psalm is simply, it's poetic, it could be a song, we could say. And Nehemiah 12:46, listen to this. For in the days of David and Asaph of old, they were chief of the singers and songs of praise and thanksgiving unto God. So during the days of David and Asaph, I guess he was the choir director or the head of the music, whatever. And by the way, in old days, they used to sing the psalms. Matter of fact, I did a study one time in a lesson that I forget now. See how well I remember different things. But anyway, there was a gentleman that came out with the first hymnal. And at first he was a little bit criticized because the early church only sang the psalms. And now here he's introducing some new songs. And part of it was because he said, you know, we're missing some of the information in the New Testament and so forth. And therefore, we have psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs today. And but anyway, during this time, there were songs of praise and thanksgiving unto God. And by the way, don't you like to sing praises unto the Lord? How many ever do that when you're by yourself? You're not ashamed of it? All right, very good. I love to sing. I didn't say I was a good singer, but I love to sing. And I love to sing about my Lord. And I've told you this before, I sometimes get up here and repeat things, I guess. But when I used to work for the snack food company, I was in, you know, those bakery-type trucks, those aluminum body trucks. They look pretty square. Well, they really echo in there. And I used to sing often inside my truck, and one time I was at a red light, and I was just caught up in the music, the old-fashioned way. How many ever heard that song? And I was singing that, and I looked over to my side, because it was two lanes, and so there was a car parked right next to me, and a lady just looking up at me, and I had my window open. I didn't realize that. And she just smiled, and I just waved back to her. There I was, singing away, thinking nobody was hearing me. But she was, and apparently she smiled, so I guess it wasn't too bad. Psalm 69, verse 30 says, I will praise the name of God with a song, and I will magnify, that means to extol with praise. That's why I knew when Pastor asked, what's it mean to extol? It means to lift him up, to make great. By the way, isn't our God great? We ought to sing about that. We ought to praise the Lord and give thanks to Him. It says, magnify Him with thanksgiving. Isn't that interesting? We extol Him or lift Him up by giving Him thanks. So we ought to be thankful people. We ought to give thanks all the time. Listen to what Psalm 71 verse 14 says, but I will hope continually and will yet praise Thee more and more. The idea there is to praise Him yet again and again. It seems to be the idea of finding still fresh material to praise beyond all praise. Now, I've thought about this a little bit. And let me just give you a quick, brief outline of Psalm 145, of what I've found in one of the books I had yet from back in Bible college. It's Psalm 145 verses 1 through 6. It's David's praise for God's greatness. And in 7 through 10, it's David's praise for God's goodness. And in verses 11 to 13, it's David's praise for God's glory. Verses 14 to 16, David's praise for God's guidance. And then verses 17 to 21, David's praise for God's grace. The Bible says, in a couple more verses here, and then we'll read verses 1 through 6. And if you've heard these verses before, I know because I've used them. In Psalm 33:1, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise." So when we rejoice in the Lord, we're praising Him. "For praise is comely for the upright." By the way, for the saved, it's fitting that we praise God. It's a beautiful thing that we praise God. It's proper for us to praise God. Now, what would be the opposite of praise? Probably think of a couple things. I would think complaining would be the opposite, right? Complaining about our situation. By the way, if we are not praising God, could that be sin? If we're supposed to be praising Him? I certainly realize that if we're complaining, that's sin. God's not pleased with that, or if we're unthankful. No, God wants us to be praising Him and be thankful for Him. Psalm 147, verse 1, "Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely." Again, the idea of being beautiful and proper. All right, let's read Psalm 145. We're just going to read the first six verses, because this is where I want to concentrate on tonight. And that is, I want to praise God for His greatness. Look what it says in verse 1. "I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. Verse 5, I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. All men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts." And here's what David says, I will declare thy greatness. In other words, declare means he's going to speak about it. He's going to declare the greatness of God. And that's what I want to try to do tonight. So let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for who you are and for what you have done. And Father, may we as your children praise you and give you thanks continually and yet more and more. For you are worthy of all praise and all honor and all glory. May we lift you up tonight. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to first look at this thought. I was thinking of some things as I was meditating upon this. I will praise Him for the greatness of His salvation. How about it? Isn't salvation something great? Wow. Are you glad to be a child of God tonight? Say amen. Amen. Praise God, I'm saved. Saved, saved, saved. When we sing that song, we ought to praise Him for the greatness of His salvation. Listen to what Hebrews 2:3 says. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? It's a great salvation, folks. It's great to be saved. Where would you be today, tonight, had you never gotten saved? Think about that. Aren't you glad for the greatness of God's salvation? What makes it so great? Well, I just have two things down here. One thing that makes it so great, it's eternal. Praise God. I am for eternally saved. Whew. We ought to think about that. Hebrews 5:9 says, "And being made perfect, He became the author and author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him." I'm eternally saved. And I praise God for the greatness of that salvation that I have. How about you? It's for all nations and people. Matthew 28:19, a very familiar verse, says this: "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." Aren't you glad? I don't know what nationality you are here tonight. Maybe you're all Americans. But God's salvation is for all people and all nations. Remember, at one point in time, it was to the Jew first. But the great mystery is that we as Gentiles are grafted in as well. We can have salvation. Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad it wasn't just for the Jewish people, God's chosen people? But it's a great salvation, and I'm going to praise God for the greatness of His salvation. Secondly, I will praise Him for the greatness of His creation. Look around you, folks. By the way, did you ever look at the person next to you? What's the Bible say? Psalm 139:14. "I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." Listen, the human body is one of them, just an incredible work of God's creation. By the way, He knew you when you were still in your mother's womb, and He created you when you were in your mother's womb. The greatness, I'm going to praise God for the greatness of His creation. Look at all, you go down to Longwood Gardens or someplace like that. How many ever been there? Isn't that a wonderful place to see all those different variety of flowers? You think God, I'm not very creative. In other words, I can't think of things, and to me, everything's just kind of plain, but sure isn't with God. Can you imagine if everything was just green? Well, we got flowers of all different types of colors, don't we? I was saying this. I said this at the when I taught this similar things over Colonial Lodge. Can you imagine if God just made blackbirds? But He's made some beautiful birds, hasn't He? I love birds. I think they're amazing. I love it when I'm out in a tree stand and a little bird sits next to me. Have you ever had that, Pastor? Isn't that pretty cool? Sometimes some of the neatest little things. Then the next thing I hear is this. I look up and there's a woodpecker. Beautiful. And I praise God for His creation. Listen, we ought to praise God for the greatness of His creation. God said in Genesis 1:31, "And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good." Very good. We can praise God for the greatness of His creation. I will praise Him for the greatness of His power. Jeremiah 32:17. "Ah, Lord God, behold, Thou hast made the heaven and the earth by Thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for Thee." Nothing. I will praise God for His great power. Listen, I am glad that my Father, my Heavenly Father, has all power. All power. Unlimited power. Incredible. Listen, praise God for His power. Psalm 147 verse 5. "Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite." And by the way, I'm trying to follow what the psalm said there about to praise Him continually and yet more and more. Listen, I sat and I thought about these things. You know, we could be here all night and we could go on and on. I'm only going to give you some of them, and then I hope you take this and you'll praise God for His greatness and whatever it might be. But I praise God for the greatness of His power. I praise God for the greatness of His forgiveness. My sins are gone, completely gone. I'm forgiven. Psalm 130 verse 4. "But there is forgiveness with Thee, that Thou mayest be feared." Colossians 1:14, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." I praise God for the greatness of His forgiveness. You and I are forgiven. And listen, some of us have done some pretty bad things, haven't we? We won't go there, will we? But I'm thankful for God, the greatness of God's forgiveness tonight. I will praise him for the greatness of his love. You know the verse. John 3:16. For God loved the world. Is that what it says? No, for God so loved the world. The greatness of his love. I like Jeremiah 31:3, a familiar verse. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Isn't that a great love? Everlasting. Everlasting love. I will praise him for the greatness of his love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee, is the rest of the verse. Stay with me. I think it gets better, or like somebody said, gooder and gooder as we go along. But listen, I will praise him for the greatness of his provision. By the way, aren't you glad the way God provides for you? Not only, I have two things under this, spiritual provision. It says in 2 Peter 1:3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. He's given us everything we need to live a spiritual life for him. Right here. Everything. The greatness of his provision. How about his physical provision? Psalm 84:11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Look at verse 16 in Psalm 145. I added this after hearing what Mrs. Schweitzer said this morning. It says there, thou openest thine hand and satisfieth the desire of every living thing. God provides for everything. He provides for the birds. He provides for all the, he provides for the plants. He provides for you and for me physical things. And I think of this as, and we'll get to the end of this, but as he holds out his hands, what do we have to do to get it? Just simply receive it. I will praise him for the greatness of his provision. Listen to what it says in another familiar verse. Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Praise him for the greatness of his provision. How about Philippians 4:19? But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now we know some of these are conditional, and some of them aren't conditional. We know that Philippians 4:19 is based on how they provided for the missionary and provided for Paul. And Paul said, listen, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. By the way, does God ever run out of things? He didn't run out of two loaves and the two fishes and the five loaves, did he? Never ran out. Listen, what can we learn from that? I will praise God for the greatness of his provision. God will provide for you. You just have to trust him. I will praise him for the greatness of his mercy. Psalm 108:4. For thy mercy is great above the heavens. Wait a minute. Above the heavens. And thy truth reaches unto the clouds. 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Psalm 103:17, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. Listen, will you praise him for the greatness of his mercy tonight? Glad God had mercy on me. I don't deserve it. If I got what I deserved, you know where that goes. That's what we deserve, but God had mercy. I will praise him for the greatness of his mercy. Here's another good one. I will praise him for the greatness of his word. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God or the woman of God might be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Did I quote that right? I'll praise Him for the greatness of His Word. Think of this, Philippians 2:9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name. Now the reason I say that is this. Psalm 138 verse 2. Listen, let me read that again. Philippians 2:9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name. But listen to this. Listen, Jesus is a name above every name. And then in Psalm 138:2, it says, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for the truth that thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. Listen, He's magnified His word above His name. I will praise Him for the greatness of His word. Shame on us if we have the greatness of His word and we don't read it. Shame on us. We ought to be in His word every day. Esteem His word more important than our necessary food. Psalm 56 verse 4, in God I will praise His word. Matthew 5:18, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. I will praise God for the greatness of His word. More could be said. Much more could be said about that. I will praise Him for the greatness of His guidance. Have you ever looked back on your life? I'd encourage you to do that. Think back. Maybe before you were saved. Think about the circumstances of your salvation. Think about some of the circumstances after your salvation. And look at where you are today. And can you say, I'll praise God for the greatness of His guidance? The verse I came up for this, David's psalm in Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Listen, I'm only here because God guided me. And I praise God for the greatness of His guidance. Has He guided your life? Has He led you? Is He still leading you? Just follow Him. Follow His word. I praise God for the greatness of His guidance. Psalm 31:3. Is that your favorite verse, Pastor? For thou art my rock and my fortress, therefore for thy name's sake lead me and guide me. Praise Him for the greatness of His guidance. Psalm 139, 9 through 10. Listen to this. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me. Listen, it doesn't matter where we go. If we'll just follow the Lord, He guides us. I'll praise Him for the greatness of His guidance. I will praise Him for the greatness of His protection. Do you realize if God took His hand off of your life, you'd be a sitting duck for Satan. You wouldn't survive. How do I know that? Take a look at Job. God said, the Lord said to Satan, hath thou considered my servant Job? How did Satan get to Job? God had to take God had to say, okay, you can do this, but that's it. Do you think He does the same for us? You praise God for the greatness of His protection? I won't even read the verses. I have them out here, but He says this, "Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side?" Think about that. Satan knew that the greatness of God's protection was on Job. Satan couldn't touch him. And let me tell you this, Satan can't touch you unless God lets him. Now we know that we have an enemy, Satan, as a roaring lion. And you know what I think about that as I thought about that this morning as that verse was read? As a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You know what Satan wants to do? If you were out in the jungle and you heard a lion roar, what would you think would happen to you? Think the hairs in your back of your head would stand up? You know what Satan wants to do? He wants to scare you. But all we have to do is humble ourselves, submit ourselves unto God, resist him, and he's going to flee. Because God's got us protected, amen? I really believe that. Now, the problem of it is when we get out and we say, well, I'm just going to do what I want to do. And I'm going to be, no, we're to humble ourselves, come under his authority, and God's going to protect us. Because listen, if God weren't protecting us, where would we be? I will praise him for the greatness of his protection. Remember Simon Peter? Luke 22:31-32, and the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren." I'm glad he prays for us too. Proverbs 2:8, "He keepeth the path of judgment and preserveth the ways of his saints." You know what that word preserveth means? To hedge about. Think he has a hedge about us? Aren't you glad for that? I will praise God for the greatness of his protection. And now we get to the last part. I will praise him for the greatness of his gifts. Now what I'm doing here is cutting short all the things that we could praise God for the greatness of his whatever. But I will praise him for the greatness of his gifts. Do you realize that every one of these actually is a gift of grace? Now something's interesting about his gifts. And we find it in James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift. Did you get that? Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Do you know what that word perfect means? Perfect. Finished. Lacking nothing. Full. Complete. Have you ever gotten a gift like that? Sure we have with God. But have you ever, maybe at Christmas time you got a gift, but it lacked the batteries. That wouldn't be a perfect gift, would it? Besides, God knows exactly what we need, doesn't he? I will praise him for the greatness of his gifts because his gifts are perfect. They're finished. They don't lack anything. They're full. They're complete. Which brings me to this point. I will praise him for the greatness of his son. By the way, the greatest of all gifts. Jesus is the greatest of all. Gift of all. And we can say these things that we just mentioned are gifts, which I got ahead of myself there. By the way, are these gifts perfect? Is the Son of God perfect? No. He's perfect. He's a perfect man. He's full. He's complete. Is the Word of God perfect?
Yes, sir.
That's why this morning when Pastor asked, and as I was thinking of this, you know, really, grace is really His gift. All these things are the gift of God. We don't deserve them. They all are grace. I'm thankful for the greatness of His protection. Do I deserve God's protection? But His protection is perfect. This is what's said of Jesus. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You know, the next verse says, and I am, and ye are complete in Him. He's a complete package. And He's all I need. He's all you need. How about the gift of salvation? Is it complete? Is there anything else we got to do? Does it lack anything? It's perfect. How about the gift of His Word? It's complete. It's perfect. It says in 1 Corinthians 13:10, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. And that's speaking of the Word of God. We have the completed canon of Scriptures. We have all we need. And by the way, we can say this is a gift. What if you didn't have it? Aren't you glad for it? Is it full? Is it complete? Does it lack anything? It's got everything we need. I will praise Him for it. Psalm 126:6, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Listen, 7 kind of is the number of completion, number of perfection. And it says, the words of the Lord are as pure words, as silver tried it in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Listen, it's perfect. It's all you need. This we got. That's why we need to read it. I'm thankful for the gift of it. He's given it to us as a gift to learn about Him and to become more like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So why do we not read it? Why do we not study it? Why do we not be in it on a daily basis? It's like, did you ever get your child a gift? And it's like, well, that's not what I wanted. I just left. Listen, this is God's gift to you and me. How about the gift of forgiveness? Is that perfect? Is that complete? Does it lack anything? Well, maybe He didn't forgive me of this. Have you ever thought about that? You know, there's no one in here like this. It'd be a sensitive thing. But you know, there are some women that have trouble getting over if before they got saved, had an abortion, thinking that God could never forgive me of that. Oh, yes, He can. His forgiveness is full. His forgiveness is complete. His forgiveness is perfect. It says in Psalm 103 verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Psalm 103 verse 3, who forgiveth all? Did you get that? All thine iniquities. Who healeth all thy diseases. Psalm 32:1, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. It says, Psalm 71, verse 14, but I will hope continually and will yet praise Him, praise Thee more and more. How about it, folks? Can you go home? Can you this week think of things that you can praise God for the greatness of? There's more, I'm sure. Even as I was writing things down and thinking about these, I thought of another one, and I could mention over and over, and just everything God does is perfect. I will praise Him for the greatness of His grace. John 1:14 says about Jesus Christ, He is, I need to turn there. Go ahead and turn there with me. I'm just about done here. John 1:14. John chapter 1. Now it's coming to me. I remember. I will praise him for the greatness of his grace. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. What's that say there? What's he full of? He's full of grace. Do you think that's the same word, perfect? He's got perfect grace. He's full of grace. That's why as I was thinking about these things, God be gracious. I don't have to ask God to be gracious. He's full of grace. He wants us to be grace. Help us, God, help me to see your grace. It's all around me. God, be merciful. God is full of mercy. The greatness of his mercy. I understand what we mean by that. When we pray, God, be gracious to them. God, show your grace to them. Help them. A lot of times, God's hand is open. He wants to help us. Problem is us. We lack faith. We don't believe his word. We just need to trust him. Listen, there's a lot of things. I wish there's something I could share with you tonight. I can't. But I'm just trusting God. He's full of grace. Yeah. Let's go to one more passage. 1 Peter 5 and verse 10. Says, let's read verse 9. Actually, this is this verse, the passage here where we're to cast all our care upon him, for he careth for you. Verse 7, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But look what verse 10 says, but the God of all grace. He's the God of all grace. I will praise him for the greatness of his grace. What do you praise him for the greatness of tonight? Listen, this week, try to practice that. There's power in praising God and giving thanks to him. It'll revolutionize your life. Quit complaining, quit grumbling, quit thinking, oh, if I only had this or only had that. Listen, you've got everything you need. You've got a perfect Savior. You have a perfect salvation. You've got the God of all grace, the God of all mercy. You've got a God who is protecting you, watching over you. He cares for you, and his care is perfect. Listen, sometimes we try to care for somebody and we fall short, but God never falls short. He's full and complete. He's perfect. He's the whole package. That's why we can say, all we need is Jesus Christ. I have everything I need right here. I have all the information I need. Listen, I pray for wisdom and knowledge. The Bible tells me out of his mouth comes wisdom and knowledge. Listen, does God speak today? He does through his word. If I want wisdom and I want knowledge, right here it is. I just got to search for it. As for hid treasure, the Bible says. Listen, we do a lot of working and searching for money, don't we? We'll take that overtime, double time, and we'll even sacrifice our family and so forth for it. Listen, let's search for the hidden treasure. Let's search for the wisdom and knowledge of God. It's right here. Aren't you glad for the greatness of God tonight? Will you praise him? There's power in that. It'll change your life. I'm telling you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word tonight.